Hello, friends. Today we're going to be reading a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul's in the middle of a prayer conversation with God, and he's talking to him about something that he's wrestling with in his life. And he's sharing that with God, and he's recording in this particular verse God's response back and his reflection upon it. So here's what Paul says to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning verse 9. Each time God said to me, "My grace is all you need. My power," meaning God's power, "works best in weakness. So now I'm glad," Paul writes, "to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me." Today, I want to share with you a story in my life that happened this week. And as I was sharing it with others, I realized that this is a broader thing that's happening, and I needed to talk about how God can work in it and through it for us. So Tuesday morning, we did a celebration of the life of a dear saint at Bethany named Idona Fredericks. She was the longest term member at Bethany, a beautiful woman who served and loved in so many different ways and blessed so many different people with her life. And so her celebration of life was on Tuesday. I came into the church as I normally do to prepare for that. And by that I mean get the building ready and everything ready for the funeral director and the family and the service itself. So I'm doing the work that I normally do. I'm making sure that the sanctuary is cleaned and ready for the congregation to come. I am making sure that an order of worship is ready for the participants. Checking the building, all the details. As I'm walking through, I realize that Psy Kids has been here this week and the lobby needs a good vacuuming. So I grab the vacuum and I vacuum it. And as I'm going through my chores, it seems like there's more and more and more to do. It is, after all, the first funeral we've done in here in a very long time. So I go to do one of the more simple things. Having already turned on the lights over the pews, I go to turn the lights on over the stage. I flick the switch, and voila, it's all supposed to come on, and none of it does. All the lighting that allows you to see what's actually happening on the stage, none of it came on. And I'm thinking to myself, about an hour and a half before the funeral starts, oh no, there was a big thunderstorm last night, and I don't know what's happened. So I go around to the circuit breaker box and check. All the circuit breakers are on. I turn the system off and on. This is about the extent of my knowledge of what to do. So I say to myself, okay, Tim Jones will be in soon. Whether you know it or not, Tim is our go-to tech guy for a lot of stuff. I say, Tim, the lights in the stage won't come on. Would you please do something? And then I run off. And as I'm sitting in my office, just kind of preparing, I realize I'm on edge. I am on edge. Not only is there the normal stuff that has to get done, but I realized that just a small thing like the lights not coming on had really tweaked me. It had pushed me a bit. And I took a few minutes to reflect about that. And I thought, you know, I'm tired. This past year has taken a toll. It's really affected me. And not only that, but as I think about it, just the past couple of weeks, the people that I interact with, the people that I work with, the people that I live around, like in my community, like, it's not just me. The good news is that Tim Jones came to me and said, I went over, I turned off the circuit breakers and turned them back on, and now the lights are working. And I went, what would that do? And he said, don't ask, it works. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And maybe you've had a day like that. And I certainly have too. But as I began to reflect, because after the funeral was my staff meeting, I thought, I think this is bigger than just me. I think we've been through a long, hard year, and it's not really over. The celebration that we have is that we've gone officially for an entire month without a COVID death in Maryland. But that doesn't mean that the threat's not there, the kids haven't been vaccinated, who want to get vaccinated, all kinds of other things happening, in that we've trudged through what has been very difficult time. And that takes its toll. And so as I prepared for staff meeting after the funeral, I walked in and I said to them, I just want to tell you, I've noticed that I've been more tired. I've been a little bit more on edge. I found that small things that used to just flow off my back don't do so quite so easily right now. And it reminded me of something in science, and I shared this with them, called supercooled water. Let me just tell you what it is, and then in a second I'll show you a video, and you'll understand it better, and then we'll tie back to our lives in the scripture itself. Ready? So supercooled water is generally when you take a purified water like distilled water, and you put it in the freezer, and actually it freezes to below the temperature of freezing, but remains in a liquid form. Now, I'm not going to give you a long scientific explanation for this, but basically what it comes down to is the fact that if you have purified water, the minerals and the other things in normal water can change the freezing point. Impurities can also cause the beginning of crystallization called nucleation. But if you take purified water and freeze it, none of that happens. As a matter of fact, you can put a bottle of water into your freezer of pure distilled water and bring it out and it is water. And then something magical can happen. I'm going to let you watch this for just a second. That's a video of supercooled water. And simply taking it and banging it or flicking it or even dropping something into it will cause the ice to suddenly form and literally, in front of your eyes, become solid. Pretty cool, isn't it? And I thought to myself, that's how I feel sometimes. Sometimes I feel like I'm right there and it only takes one thing to begin to get me going. And I paused and I said it out loud to my staff and the people around me to say, here is where I am. And I found other people in the room shaking their heads. Yeah, me too. And I'm like, yeah, I think this is what it is. And so I share with them some thoughts that I'd like to share with you that have helped me and I hope will help you. Now, it hasn't fixed it, but it's begun me on the process of helping to get to a better place. And this verse is at the heart of it. Paul tells us each time God said to me when I complained about the thing in front of me, the thing I was dealing with, in this particular case, it was what he called a thorn in the flesh or a problem, probably a physical ailment that he had to deal with. When he asked for God to take it away, God's response is, my grace is all you need. And the reason why God's grace is all we need is because God then said, my power works best in weakness. God's power works best in weakness. Now, that's really kind of contrary to my thinking. Like, I always want to be at my best, not just as a human being, but as a pastor, as a dad, as a husband, as a friend. I hate it when I fail in my relational stuff. Not just because I like to look good, but because I want to be a kind, caring, loving person. And I'm sure most of you do too. And so Paul lifts up for us a spiritual principle that I have wrestled with so much of my life, and that is when I am weak, God's power works best. But one of the secrets to that is realizing that I'm at a weak point. This is just one of those moments. And I have had to kind of say it to myself and even say it out loud. And when I've said it out loud, other people have paused and gone, oh yeah. This has been a strain. This has taken a toll. This is hard. And it's not over by any means. And so to pause and to say that out loud is important because it opens the door for the second thing. And that is the ability and the space and the opportunity for God's grace to work. If God's power works best in my weakness, Paul says, then I'm going to look for my places of weakness and wait for God to respond there. As a matter of fact, he even says, I'll boast about it. I'll celebrate those places because I know where I'm weak, God can become strong. Here's what it means for me practically, though. When I step back and say, I need God, what a huge step that is. Not only do I recognize it, but I begin to ask for it. I begin to seek it out. I begin to know that I need that to happen. And this is one of those periods, not just days. Like, we have bad days. We even have bad weeks. This feels like a period of life where I need to recognize and look for and seek God's grace. And so, when hard things happen, I pause and I say, ooh, I kind of feel that. It's not running off my back like normal. Okay, I need grace. I need help. I need power that's not from me. And that's a huge step. Me recognizing my weaknesses and my limitations, even my failures, in and of itself is huge, but opening the door to seeking and allowing God to bring his grace into my life is another whole step. It's a reliance upon it. And I'm the kind of person that doesn't like to ask for help. If I can do it myself, I want to. I want to. I had a conversation with somebody this week at Bethany, and we were talking about cars, and I like working on my cars. And they were saying, you know what? Almost anything inside my house, I'll fix, I'll work on, I'll deal with. But my car, I don't want to touch it. I've got a friend who's a good mechanic. I take it to them. They do it. It's a workout. I know they're not going to cheat me. It's good. And inside of me, I'm going like, but it's easy to change your oil. And I want to do it. And part of what we have to recognize is that as we walk through life, there's a cost to what we do. And sometimes we don't recognize the cost that other people are paying, and we have to listen to that. There are people in our culture right now who are talking about the cost of what they live with, and we don't always hear it. Recently, I encountered a new person in my life who's got a grandmother who is really ill, and a mother who has a long-term progressive illness, and the weight of that on their lives and how it impacts their daily life is just huge. Listening to talking to people who regularly deal with discrimination or racial issues and how it impacts their lives as minorities or being a part of some subculture is enormous, and we don't even understand how that impacts them and how they feel the weight of that. So as I walk through life, understanding what I'm carrying and the full weight of that is important, and understanding where I need grace to help me, because I can become on edge, I can become angry, I can become one who's not sharing and showing the love of Jesus. So if I take pause of my own weakness, I have to start there. And then I begin to recognize that others are carrying different loads than I am. And they're in varying states of weakness because of the load they have to carry. And am I seeing that? Am I recognizing that different people are carrying different strains, and how do I give credence to that? And then seeking the grace for myself. That may seem selfish, right? But think of it this way. When you're on an airplane and they give you the instructions at the beginning that if the oxygen mask comes down, what's the first thing you're to do? You're to put it on yourself so that you then have the strength to help others. And very often we have to pause and recognize our own need for grace before we start going around helping other people with their need for grace. Because if we don't recognize our own, we might just think that we're the one saving them instead of people who are also struggling, giving help and aid to fellow strugglers. And then the last piece is to offer grace. It's to offer that help. It's to offer that space. It's to say, you know what? I'll bet they're hurting too. Yes, one little thing set them off, but I can understand that now. And giving each other space and grace for those things during these times is enormous. This scripture is a gift to us. Because if God's grace works best, if God's power works best in our weakness, there's a lot of opportunity in my life for God's power to be at work. But I have to be humble enough to recognize those moments when I need it. I have to be willing to ask. I have to be willing to give the recognition to others that they might also be wrestling with the weight of what they're carrying. And I have to be willing to offer them grace as well. And so today, I'm challenging you to pause and to say, how am I doing? Do I feel like I'm full of everything I need, the joy, the peace, the energy to take on everything in front of me? Or does it feel like I've been on an eternally long walk that hasn't quite finished? And I'm a little bit tired, maybe even a lot tired. I'm a little bit edgy, and I need God. And I need God to help me treat others in the way that Jesus would have me treat them. Would you pray with me? God, I pray that you would help us to grasp with clarity the nature of what it means that your power works best in our weakness. And we're weak for many reasons. We're weak because we're sinful, because we're broken, but also sometimes just because we carry heavy loads. And today, that's what we talked about most, carrying those heavy loads. And they're not all the same for each one of us. We face different things in life. And some people have been very concerned because they're in a high-risk category and they've lived so carefully for the past year and it's just been challenging that way. And some people have little kids and they feel the weight of that and keeping their kids safe. And some people have parents who are sick and some people are facing injustice. And as a result of all of this, God, we're carrying different things. And that affects us in the long term. We don't always feel full, overflowing with everything that we need to face life with joy and peace and justice and care. Help us, God, to pause and to recognize when we're in those places. Help us to ask for grace. Help us to know that we don't need to be shamed in those moments. Help us to see that others are also facing similar things. And help us to extend grace to them as well. Thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, and your care for all of us. We pray this in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.